Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I really love my girlfriend, but she comes from a low-class, trashy family. Her brother is in prison, her father is a drunk, and the rest of the family is on welfare. I can't stand being around these degenerate, uneducated thugs. She is the only person in her family to graduate from college and develop herself. If I could be with just her, I think I could look past where she came from. However, we have discussed marriage and children, so I would have no choice but to deal with her family. My parents keep telling me to cut and run. What should I do? Well, to me, the big question is not her family, but her attitude toward her family, assuming your description is accurate. And in essence, she has to have one of two attitudes as far as I can project. She condemns her family for being what they are, or she condones it or rationalizes it with some excuse such as they had bad luck, they were badly trained when they grew up, etc. Now, if she condemns her family and does so in the same terms that you do, then I don't see that you have a problem. You are together, your valuations are the same, and she should have no objection to cutting her family off if she really cuts them, evaluates them as you do. So if you have children, she may want a token visit, which you don't have to come on, but it wouldn't be a perpetual issue. The big problem would be, though, if, despite knowing the facts about her family and, you know, everything that that must have come from, she nevertheless finds it important to keep a tie and some kind of regular relationship with them. What does that mean? That would have to mean then that she has a strong emotion which she wants to follow regardless of her own rational judgment, and or that, it's so important for her to be a member of a group that claims a special closeness. It's like a tribalism that what they are is not important. Now, if she is this kind of extreme emotionalist or tribalist, you have to decide, is that the kind of wife you want and the kind of mother you want for your children? So the issue is not that she has a rotten family. The question is, what is her attitude to it? So it's not a question of disagreement about the family. It's disagreement about what is important to her, and therefore, presumably, to you. Would John Galt use eHarmony? Because I am looking for him, and I am trying to narrow down my search. Well, in general, I am completely in favor, and I'm not speaking as an objectivist, but just a person, a man. I am completely in favor of computer dating, particularly the only one I really know is Match.com. I know a number of people who have had successful relationships that way. And the great thing about the computers is that they open the whole world to you. You don't have to go to your school or your Kiwanis group or the local dance and try and pick over what's there. You know what you want, they know what they want, and you can, you know, work it out. It's just a tricky thing to work out, but it opens up the whole world. So I would certainly, if you want, try as a possibility computer dating. Now, as far as eHarmony goes, I'm not an expert, but I certainly would not use eHarmony. As I understand it, they are a Christian site. And in any event, I have had my own experience, because once a while ago, I started that. And that gives you a long list of questions. You know, what would you do if you saw this? Trying to elicit all of your views. And I gave honest answers. And at the end, a card came out saying, this is in no way meant personally, but you are not the kind of person that the women on eHarmony want, so we have to reject you as an applicant. The questions were, I think, five possibilities, from absolutely no to always, whatever the thing was. And I was taking many extreme positions, and it was clear that they were looking for moderate answers, you know, one to five. Generally, they like two or three. That's what it seemed to me. I think there's so many possibilities, you know, why would you go to that one? All right, here's another one. Glad I'm getting questions about dating and not about Iraq, because I'm finished with those Iraq-type questions. My girlfriend and I have been dating about 15 months, and we are in love. We are seriously discussing marriage and raising a family, but I am a cat person. I have had a cat for 7 years. The cat sits on my couch, is free to roam my home, lies next to me in bed. I love this cat. She says that she cannot live in a home where a cat walks on the furniture and is allowed in a bed. She believes it is unhygienic. So my question is she correct in saying that I don't love her? Because if I did, I would restrict my cat and keep him off the bed and the couch. Are our values in conflict? Should one of us give in? Neither of us want to compromise our values. So what should we do? Is there a rational resolution? Well, this is a question of what objectivism calls a hierarchy of value. Not all of your values, however sincere and important they are to you, are equal. They range from top, our supreme values, all the way down to minor values, like get a decent lane on the 405 is a value, but it doesn't compare to getting a diploma, which doesn't compare to falling in love. You have to be able to relate your values in a range, in a hierarchy, in order to make choices. You have to rank the things you value, so that when you have a conflict, you know what counts. Now, there are some very, very difficult choices you have to make. If it is, for instance, your career versus your love, you have to go out of state, she can't, and you have to decide. And there's many, many questions involved with that. How intense is your desire? Are there any close options? Can you do some ways of making it partial, etc., etc.? So I couldn't tell you offhand. It depends on what the options are to you, what your emotions are, what your hierarchy is in this particular case. Now, let's get to the cat situation. I've heard a worse example of it, of your same problem, in one of the couples being highly allergic to the animal. Allergic in a painful way, sneezing, it's just intolerable. And they have tried pills for the allergic one to take, which does very much relieve the symptoms, or at least it did in the case I knew, but made the person sick as a result. And they had a problem, and the man, he had to decide which was more important, living with the woman or living with the cat. They simply were incompatible. And once he saw that it's either or, it's not a matter of her choice, it's a matter of her physical constitution that can't be medically fixed, He decided that she was more important in his life than his pet, however much he loved the pet. And I think in that case, he had the pet adopted with the understanding that he could come and visit periodically. So he kind of withdrew slowly, like people stop smoking. A sad thing, because an animal can become so much a part of you that they're almost closer than anybody else, but not so really closer. And when you see that, or if you see that, then your hierarchy tells you what to do. And now in your situation, you have much less of a conflict. She wants a modest restriction on the cat. She wants some furniture removed from his jurisdiction. So you ask yourself this question. In my life, if I love her, love, that's what you said, love is an embodiment of your highest values, an irreplaceable embodiment. Not someone you can just pass up and go on to the next one. So you have to ask, which is more important to you if you have to choose, a loving a woman or loving a cat's freedom of movement? To me, that's pretty clear cut. Much as I love, well, not cats, but dogs, I would say there's no choice there. And that doesn't mean that I'm indifferent to or don't appreciate the closeness of the bond, but it doesn't seem to me an onerous restriction. It doesn't affect the quality of the pet's life or the nature of our relationship. Now, you may very well say, well, I tried to talk to her about this and prove that it's unhygienic, and she will not accept this. And if you decide in your own mind, well, I gave her a convincing reason, and she's stubborn, then you could come to a different conclusion. Or you could decide, okay, it is unhygienic, but I still prefer the cat. If so, go ahead, break up. But if you do that, then she's quite right in saying that if you're not willing to let the cat on the bed, you don't love her. That's the best I can do. Very difficult question. How can someone diagnosed with bipolar or other mental disorders be an objectivist? Well, the only requirement in this regard is a functioning brain that can be in contact with reality, and it is subject to control by the individual. In the old days, we used to define the difference here as neurosis versus psychosis. Neurosis was a person who had psychological, emotional problems, conflicts, doubts, etc., but they nevertheless could tell what were facts of reality and what weren't. Whereas psychosis, they lost contact with reality. They could no longer use reason as their guide. And from that point of view, they were essentially different, and the treatments were different. Now, a psychotic cannot be anything intellectually, so long as that is the state he's in. Since he's out of touch with reality and not in control of his mind, he can't be classified as a person who thinks this versus a person who thinks that. Now, bipolar, as I understand it, and I'm not a psychologist, is bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. And it generally means what used to be called manic depressive, ups and downs, elation and depression. And bipolar 1 is just a neurosis. Doesn't interfere with your cognitive functioning. Whereas bipolar 2, as I understand it, is in the direction of psychosis. So they're two very different things. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.